not whole, or lacking in integrity. When people observe that your actions are inconsistent in different settings, they don't trust anything about you. The preacher, who is holy and sweet with the congregation and a terror at home, loses all his influence with his children. They can't even spell hypocrite, and yet they completely understand what one is. The employee who is one person at work and a completely different person in a social setting isn't functioning in wholeness and will give you trouble. This concept of wholeness equaling integrity is another great reason we do the spousal interview I wrote about in the hiring and firing chapter. When we all relax at the table eating a nice meal, people let their guard down and reveal more of who they really are than was revealed in an interview. The more conversations and interviews you have with someone in different settings, the more you will see the real person. It is a pleasant experience to find confident people so comfortable in their own skin that no matter how much time you spend with them, they are always the same. Hiring for wholeness is hiring for integrity. The longer you work with someone and observe consistency in their life and their work, the more you can delegate to them. To the extent you give big tasks to unproven people, you will have drama and problems. Don't delegate too quickly. Competency. When our teens were learning to drive, we had some interesting discussions with some of their friends' parents. Other parents would say things like, "Aren't you just scared to death when your child is out there driving on their own?" Or the first time they left the driveway and I saw those brake lights as they hit the street, I was just terrified, weren't you? No, I wasn't scared to death, nor was I terrified. If I hadn't developed trust in my teen's competency, they would not have left the driveway. Until I had spent hour after hour being jerked around in the passenger seat and felt they were competent, I was not going to let them drive by themselves. So when my teen left the driveway, I wasn't freaked out because we had discussed and seen examples of what stupid behind the wheel looks like. And over an extended period of time, my teens had a proven level of competency, or they wouldn't have been leaving. You can't delegate to someone until you trust their competency. And there is no better way to trust their competency than to walk with them as they display their knowledge and abilities. We have brought talented, proven people on board with us several times, and we don't toss them the keys the first day. For someone on your team to be competent, they have to have the ability not only to do the task, but to do the task within your culture. An NFL team can recruit a world-class wide receiver whose ability to catch a football is masterful, but his competency will be limited until he learns that team's playbook and gets a rhythm with that quarterback. There will be days and days spent studying the playbook and working out with the quarterback before anything good will happen consistently. Don't think because you hired talent that they are competent. Competency is more than just the simple ability to accomplish the task. Competency involves how the task was accomplished. How did all the people involved feel? Were all the problems handled right? Were all the downsides considered? Were all the financial considerations of cash flow and profit accounted for and handled? As an entree leader, you never expect what you don't inspect. You never throw the whole rope at a team member or even a leader. You are always holding the end of the rope, watching and measuring integrity and competency. The larger the delegation, the more your inspection methods change. But you never surrender 100% of the oversight. That type of surrender is leadership laziness and will cause your organization to stray from its vision. Levels of delegation. Dr. Stephen Covey, in his book Principle-Centered Leadership, discusses several levels or layers of delegation. To further grasp proper delegation, let's look at just two of those, one on each end of the spectrum. systems and processes can only do so much verification of integrity and competency. You must ensure that your team is continually taught the why of your organization and let the how flow from that. Gophers. The most basic level of delegation is gopher-level delegation. Gopher-level delegation is typically seen in entry-level or temp positions that are assigned simple tasks that are easily verified. If you made the copy, delivered the box, or drove the nail, you are competent. People who are told to go for this or go for that are in a gopher position. If you start your business as a one-person operation, then you are either doing or outsourcing 100% of the tasks. Usually, your first hire is a gopher position. This is a good hire because it is practical and easy to lead. You don't have to have years of quality culture built to guide the gopher. You just show them what you want done in detail and then check every bit of their work. You are learning to inspect, to delegate, to communicate, to establish key result areas, KRAs, and to begin the building of a full-on entree leader culture. Management. Covey discusses many levels and layers of delegation, but at the complete other end of the spectrum from gophers is management-level delegation. At this level of delegation, you are not delegating tasks. You're delegating concepts that imply tasks, maybe thousands of tasks. A few years back, we built a custom home. The builder was excellent, and we became friends through the process. Once we had agreed on the budget, the plans, and the schedule, I had officially delegated to the builder the concept of building our home. That concept involved a million details, hundreds of people, and many months of production. I inspected what I expected by meeting once a week to review the schedule, review the budget, and make minor course corrections. Because I was excited, I visited the job site several times a week. However, I never pulled a subcontractor aside and corrected problems. I simply made notes and emailed the builder that night when I got home so he could make the adjustments. Custom home clients are the world's worst for delegating and then interfering. When the customer corrects the sub, the whole spirit on the job site changes because they have trashed the builder's authority. I am convinced that the reason the house came in almost 2 months ahead of schedule and within 2% of budget was proper delegation and leadership. The builder continually proved his competency and integrity throughout the process. The project was inspected physically and on paper weekly to make minor course corrections before they became a major mess. The result was a great home, on budget, on schedule, and a new friendship. Transpose that result with most people who build a custom home and almost divorce their spouse and end up suing their builder. When you delegate a concept, you imply thousands of details, but you lead the concept and inspect the concept. It's your team's job to watch the details. Micromanaging. Micromanagers are leaders who never delegate well. They are, at best, bad bosses. A micromanager is a person who does not have enough self-confidence to release tasks or concepts when integrity and competency have been proven repeatedly. Micromanagers are either control freaks or they have very low emotional maturity. The micromanager is the interfering mother-in-law still instructing helpfully after the couple has been married 10 years. If you catch yourself micromanaging every nuance and every detail, you will never grow your company into one that you work on instead of merely in. As a micromanager, you will have a very difficult time attracting and keeping high-quality people because they won't put up with that trash. I used to think, as a young leader, that I was wrong to micromanage when a quality person joined my team. As I have become very good at delegating, I have realized that when someone first joins my team, until they prove their integrity and competency, it is not micromanaging at all, but should be called training. You should watch every detail and push every button until you see that they can do the job. Competency can be proven very quickly on more basic things, allowing you to begin the gradual release, lengthen the rope. More complicated things will take more training and more of your involvement before you develop that trust. This training is not micromanaging, although it can feel like it. This training is an entree leader serving a team member. This training can be the gradual process of mentoring a diamond in the rough into a big-time entree leader on your team over 5 years. Authority. If you want to completely destroy the entree leader culture of your organization, there is one simple rule you can violate. The rule is, never give someone responsibility without the authority to perform. When someone first starts on the team, they likely won't have a ton of authority, but neither will I hold them responsible. If I am holding someone accountable, responsible, for the cost of a widget produced by their department, but I micromanage their vendor selection, they will become demoralized. I have to step outside my comfort zone and release the power to make the decision to someone who I am holding accountable for results. Titles don't make leaders. If you give someone the title and hold them to the results, you must also give them the authority to act. When an organization or its leaders begin to dish out responsibility without authority, it is a sign they have people whose integrity or competency they don't trust. That is a symptom of a company having outgrown the quality of its team. And that is the beginning of the end for them. Ronald Reagan said, "Surround yourself with the best people you can find. Delegate authority and don't interfere." Conclusion. This is a different kind of business and leadership audiobook. The topics have spanned high-level leadership philosophy all the way to the daily mechanics of starting a business in your living room. That wide reach has sometimes made it difficult to message and brand this audiobook properly. Is this a really great leadership audiobook that anyone aspiring to lead well should listen to? Yes, I hope so. Is this a handbook for someone wanting to know how to start and run a small business? Yes, I hope so. From the time we started this project until I typed these final words, my goal has been to share with you our playbook, what has caused our company to be successful beyond my wildest dreams by any measure. To share our playbook with transparency and accuracy required that the subject matter cover a wide range of topics. We have covered those topics in an effort to serve you as you grow your organization and or grow within your organization. I challenge you to become more of an entree leader every day from this day forth. I am sure that the passion of the entrepreneur is a skill that is always valuable in the marketplace. I am sure that we have become so successful because God has chosen to bless us as we have worked really hard to become not just leaders and not just entrepreneurs, but entree leaders. I am also sure that God will bless you on that same journey. Go make a difference in the way business is conducted.
Entree Leadership, 20 Years of Practical Business Wisdom from the Trenches, was written and read by Dave Ramsey. It was recorded by Matt Aaron and Zach Bennett at the Dave Ramsey Show Studios in Brentwood, Tennessee. Editing and post-production by Common Mode. Paul Fowley, Technical Director. The mix engineer was Terry Hogan. The associate producer was Jenna Weiss-Berman. Entree Leadership was produced and directed by Jan Werner. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Entree Leadership is available in hardcover from Howard Books.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.